practice. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Live. 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 Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter. Exploring science and spirituality.
Welcome everyone to the Spirit of Life weekly service, an educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. My name is Dr. Douglas Kelly, and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello, good to be back again for another weekly broadcast. I love it. It's exciting.
Well, Wednesday, October 14th, 2015. Spirit of Life, as I said, is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. We have Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers. Metaphysicsinstitute.org, of course, where you can get your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and several related specializations such as spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, and paranormal, and there's several others. And also currently ICHSworld.org, where you can take standalone courses. That's going to be changing in a week or so, and we'll announce that then. Before we get into our main program, I'd like to, first of all, welcome everyone who's listening to the live program and those of you listening to the archives. We appreciate you spending your time with us for the next little while. I also like to do our abbreviated principles of belief. These are the foundation upon which ICMH Church is built. First one is, do no harm, do right. Second, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. Number seven, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. Number eight, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And number nine, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For an extended discussion of these nine principles of belief, please visit visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. There's a couple of them. You can also go to icmhchurch.org. Same thing. It takes you to the same place. So,
this is the thing about doing it live. That is not a pre-recorded message.
that's for sure.
We're live.
Some of us gets tongue-tied here. Tongue-tied.
We do it. All right. We do fine. Yeah.
So tonight we're going to be doing our mindful expansion program like we've been doing the last few weeks. It seems to be working well. Get a lot of participation where we use our inner oracle cards, which are self-discovery cards. They provide a topic for discussion, and it allows us to speak a little bit extemporaneously and discuss the issues at hand. And if those of you who are listening live have any questions, please ask them in the chat room. And if you're listening to this and you're not in the chat room, we invite you to log in. You don't need any password or anything. Just type your name in there and come on in and join us. And then a little bit later, if you'd like an inner oracle card pulled for you, we can do that too. Just let us know. Of course, we've got Michael Kelly producing the show, running things behind the scenes. We appreciate that. And in fact, he pulled a card for us to begin with to kind of set the theme. So I'll let Vicki get into that.
You know, it's just it's such a perfect word. A little pun on there. Michael chose for us tonight to get started. Perfection, number one in our
at random.
Yeah, you did. In our Inner Oracle Guidebook, it reads, always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully. You know, everything is really a perfect result of everything that we have put into it. And that, you know, people may say, well, I didn't intend for that to happen, but we don't intend it. Just there's always, I always say the universe doesn't paraphrase. It's exact. And this is where self-discovery, self-awareness, knowing better that life is a creation of our own thoughts. Of course, we're intersecting with all kinds of energies. We can't, you know, dismiss that by any means. But life is, if we look at the whole globe, it is a result of everything that we have created or put into it and invested into it. And our lives are too. It's a perfect result of everything that's gone into it. And again, we may not intend for it to have gone that way, but the awareness of it gives us more advantage to be conscious of our choices and what we want to put into the next step so that we become better life managers as opposed to controllers.
Right. So to sum that all up, essentially, you are perfectly where you are right here and now because of the choices and decisions you've made in your life. You know, that's the lion's share of it. Yeah, some unpredictable things may have happened too. But by and large, we are where we are because of us and choices and decisions we've made, and we're perfectly here. So therefore, we are perfectly us. You can't find anybody who can be more perfect at being you than you are. Therefore, you are perfect. And this concept is kind of a tough one for many people to wrap their brains around, because we've all been indoctrinated with the whole perfection thing all our lives, you know. But as I've said before on the program, it's an interesting dichotomy. You know, we're born, we're conditioned, programmed to strive for perfection. But on the other hand, we know there's something we can never attain, and that's perfection. And, you know, that's just ridiculous. It makes no sense. It's illogical. So we need to redefine perfection. We need to redefine it in such a way that it builds us up and empowers the person rather than provides a basis for just denigrating oneself or denigrating others. So perfection is a good card.
Well, I like that card because it does actually, it can irritate us. It can aggravate us. It can, you know, it can stimulate us into new thinking of what does perfection mean? Because largely we have some kind of religious connotation to it, and where perfection is outside the self as opposed to inside the self. So I always like it when something might irritate me, you know, when I have to meditate on it and I have to think about that word and then put it into experience. And it's a good thing because everything is exactly perfect in this moment. We're here. It is everything that we've gone into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to, right along with that, select another good oracle card. Well, you know, going right along with perfection is empowerment, isn't it? Number 9 in the life leadership suit. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution, in principle, for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you're empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others. So again, taking your power back, that's empowerment. Empowerment is not about controlling anything outside yourself. It's about knowing who you are and being comfortable with that and continue to grow from that point inside. That's the most powerful thing that any one individual can ever have. I really believe that.
I agree. Taking your power back, in my opinion, is about, you know, the only thing that cures whatever ails you. It's like a panacea to your life. Because when we take our power back, we stand up on our own two feet. We hold our head high. We protect our boundaries. And the people who respect that come closer to us. And the people who don't move further away from us. It kind of balances out relationships. And that's as it should be. Because as we grow, our energy signature changes. It becomes more healthy as we grow and evolve and our awareness increases and we begin to attract more like-minded people, more those with healthier energy signatures. So,
and we stop sweating the small stuff, really.
Yeah.
When you're more self-empowered, there's a different perspective. And it's like, that's just small. This is worthy of thought. And, you know, it's like, where are we going to put our energy? And that's not to say we don't encounter people who, you know, who don't give advice. Lots of people love to give advice. And that's quite, I think it's different to have a discussion with people where you're sharing ideas as opposed to hearing somebody say, well, I think you should do this. Do you see? And then feeling the pressure of that. And a lot of people do feel that kind of pressure. I know there's been a time in my life when I had felt that, well, geez, well, you know, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should go this way or that way. Well, at the end of the day, at the end of that minute, the only one who's living my life is me. So I have to make the decisions that are good for me, no matter how unpopular, you know, they could be to somebody else. But I do like to hear other people's opinions. I do like to hear other, you know, not so much advice as I do discussion, you know, and ideas, because that's how we learn, that's how we grow. But it filters through, you know, my own thinking process to say, well, this is the right thing for me, and go forward. That's empowerment, to know that that's okay, and not worry about what other people are going to think about you.
I know. I mean, opinions are important, and everyone's entitled to my opinion, you know what I'm saying? So, anyway, there's a comment in the chat that's easy, sounds easy in words. Implementing is a different story, and I'm waiting for clarification. But I'm going to assume at this point that he's referring to taking your power back, and it's not always easy. And even if that's, and I'll wait for the clarification. But there is a point I want to make that is a general point, and it may answer the question too. When we grow, when we evolve, when we learn new things, when we get our life in order, it's obviously a process. You don't do that overnight. It takes time, and it can take weeks, it can take months, and it really never ends. That's just what we do. But as we do, implementing it kind of just comes into, it happens naturally, because as we grow, as our awareness increases, we become aware of things that we may be doing wrong or not, that may not be the healthiest, or as healthy as they should be. So the implementing just kind of happens. It's not like something we necessarily have to do, because when we grow, we change.
You know, there was a clarification that just came into the chat right now, mentioning that he has a friend who's in transition, having a lot of issues with image. And, you know, that's a very real thing in the world. There's always so much around us telling us what we should look like and what we shouldn't look like and how we should dress, what we should do. And, I mean, I see some pretty funky people and I think, wow, I think that's really cool. Or I say, ooh, that's an image problem, you know. But when it's from the inside out and how you feel. How can you help somebody with, you know, who's having a bit of that transitional image problem or wondering what other people are thinking? You just encourage them to be who they are. Just, you know, and just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. Be who you are. Makes no difference to me. Be who you are.
The source of image issues is kind of one thing, really. It's comparing yourself with other people or comparing yourself with what you believe is the status quo or the reference point. And that's been discussed ad nauseum, you know, by everyone, really, you know. we've got Hollywood presenting a certain image. You got to look like this person, or you got to be skinny and pretty and all that stuff, or you got to be, you know, buffed out, whatever. You know, we end up comparing ourselves with what we think is the social expectation. Well, that's just one belief, folks. It's not even real. It's just almost more of a fantasy, because real life is not that way. And you, when we compare ourselves with the status quo or what we think we should be doing, now we're getting, not only are we comparing ourselves, we're getting more into the realm of them esteem. We only feel good about ourselves when other people, when we're doing what other people think we should do. And so we only feel good about our image when it fits the social quote unquote norm. So when we begin to accept ourselves as we are, warts and all, and we can work to make improvements on that, but when we really do accept ourselves, that image problem fades away, because we understand we're unique just the way we are.
I think that emotion has so much to do with it, and when we're overly emotional, we don't think straight. And this is what basically outside stimuli does. Or if somebody said something to you in a bad moment and that stuck with you, and it's replaying an emotion. And I'm the first to say, you know, I think we all have some kind of insecurity that comes largely from childhood. You know, I was raised as a really fat kid. I was the fat kid in the neighborhood, and that stays with you, you know, for a long time. But there's, again, that it's an emotional experience. So if you can rise above the emotion to see a sensibility or a logic that it had nothing to do with you, it has to do with others, and then projecting their unawareness, their insensitivity, their meanness. And sometimes people are just mean-spirited. So when you start to get that perspective of how other people are behaving, then you quit taking it to heart so much, and the emotion of that, of not being good enough or not being right enough to join in that club or that group or be accepted, or somebody's not going to like you because. And because those, I think, are very real human things. So we can talk about it from an adult perspective, but there's very often a lot of childhood things that come with us. Or if somebody has had a trauma of some kind in a relationship, especially victimized relationships where somebody's repeatedly battered somebody to say they're not good enough, that reflects in the image. Well, the building of it is to balance emotion. And I can't stress that enough, that we are emotional, sensible people. We have intelligence, but we have this emotion that stirs around, and we can't let that get stuck. Emotion has to move. It has to. You know, without emotion, we wouldn't be excited, or, you know, we wouldn't have incentive, or, gee, we wouldn't be motivated to do anything. Absolutely. So emotion is a very necessary part of the human experience, but it has to be in balance. So very often that if in my work with people, it calm the emotion. And very often with emotion, by the way, there's chemicals that go off through the brain that can cause anxiety attacks, panic attacks. And sometimes you just have to go in that zen moment or lie down, have a rest, rest the body, so that we can start to think a little bit clearer. Because the adult in us knows a better perspective of reality, that other people really don't care what we look like. They really don't. And yeah, that's what's really tough to kind of get through your head, is that other people only talk about it, but they don't really care. So I have to care about me, and as long as I feel good about me, that, you know, I'm going through my routines every day. It's really about self-respect. And, you know, the cleanliness and what kind of an image you want to put out to the world, being who you are. But understanding, too, that there's limitations in the world. If you're going to the workplace, then dress for the workplace. If you're, you know, going out to a theater, dress for the theater. I mean, this is just the way our culture is. And rather than trying to bang our heads against a wall and try to make big social identity statements, it's just, I'm not saying adapt and conform. I'm just saying be sensible.
No. Yeah. Well, so the image thing, to sum it all up, Stop comparing yourself with other people. That's one thing. Understand that you're a unique individual, that the odds of you being here are astronomical, way beyond any lottery odds. And so we have to appreciate that. We have an opportunity here. We also have to kind of zoom out a little bit, because when we're worried about our image, we are taking ourselves way too seriously. We think it's all about us. It's not. And it's not all about them. It's about all of us together. And so we have to zoom out a little bit and understand that in the greater scheme of things, one person's thoughts about their own image, honestly, just are not that high up on the totem pole, on the priority list here. We are who we are, and we have a right to be who we are. And there's nothing wrong with being who we are. If there are things that you don't like about yourself or that you want to improve, then by all means, feel free, improve. But don't denigrate yourself. We live in a culture, a religious culture, that does nothing but denigrate people. You got to do it this way or you're not acceptable. You got to do it that way or you're not acceptable. Well, we need to stop seeking external validation based on external expectations. That's them esteem. We need to turn that to self-esteem, internal expectations, internal validation. And if you do that, the image problems will fade away. Let's move on to another card.
I did. I just drew it as you were talking. I picked number 3 in the Life Leadership Paragon, and it says, be who you are and walk your own path.
Really?
I mean, how appropriate.
That was a random card.
Wow. Yeah, I've got the card spread on my table and out it came. And again, in our little guidebook, this is what it says. You're a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. You see, you were just talking about that. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. And I really want to stress on that last line. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself. You know, this is my visualization. I'm a spirit in a human body learning about the human journey. And this is me unto myself. It is myself. What fulfills myself? Big capital S there. Myself. What is fulfilling to me? And to seek that. And to always keep learning about myself. And, you know, with that, when I continue to learn about myself, I naturally want to be in this shared space of interacting with others and letting them be who they are. I mean, the Life Leadership Paragon, Dr. Kelly's, you know, this beautiful triangle of self-responsibility, self-acceptance, respect for free will equals self-completeness. It's to have that regard, and it's not narcissistic. It is spiritual, integrated into understanding ourselves as human beings. So, I can't stress that enough. I mean, because the only one who lives in this body, in this earth, is me. And the only one who's living in your body is you. So you got to walk your own path. Be who you are, that uniquely designed spirit in a body that equals an extraordinary mind. So, I mean, that's... go ahead.
Let me add, you said, you know, you're living in your body and others are living in their body. Let me add, this is from Dr. Hunter. Please do live in your body.
Yes.
Don't be out in orbit. Live in your body. Be who you are. Fulfill who you are. You know, this is your path, your journey. It's nobody else's. You don't have to prove yourself to anyone other than you. You know, what people think of you is none of your business. Just be you. Fulfill your purpose. All right.
You know, I'd just like to expand that very often when I meet people, it's an energy thing and a behavior thing that I observe of people who are not in their body. They're thinking too much or they're highly strung emotional and they're not really anchored, like that spirit isn't anchored in their body. You know, there's discussion right now in the chat room about meditation And what meditation or yoga or, you know, any number of these disciplines can help you do is to breathe, bring air down into your body, and anchor yourself in your body, living from the inside out, not the outside in. You know, Dr. Kelly calls it them esteem. You know, it's like how you think about yourself is measured by outside forces versus self-esteem, how you regard yourself in the world. Well, this is just another kind of take on it. When you're living to please the world, thinking of the world, trying to outguess it, predetermine what somebody's going to say, you're in that competitive mode, you're not in your body. So get in your body. And these other little things that you can do, meditating, focusing, have a little mantra if you have to, and, you know, think, even if you think about the root chakra, which is red, you know, sometimes when you want to anchor back into your body, think red. Breathe it in, bring it right down to the base of your spine, you know, let that air out, and you're back in your body. And I trust me, you'll be able to feel it. So get in the body, live from the inside out.
Good. All right, let's do another card.
Well, maybe we should have Michael choose a card again.
Oh, sure. Put him on the spot.
Come on, Michael. Let's see what you got for us.
You can either put it in the chat or you can come on.
Either way.
But we're not going to let too much dead air go by. So
maybe he's all right.
He can pick the next one. You pick one this.
Okay, I got it. Expediency. Oh, now that's an interesting one.
Which
in the life skills suit number 43. So if anybody has a little book, go to number 43. You know, I mean, expediency is really a very interesting word. And if you ever again into that, I love meditating on words because I experience them. Then it reads this. Timing is everything. Some things call for expediency. Others require us to slow down. If you have a problem, you can take care of it now or suffer longer and still take care of it later. It takes courage to face important matters when timing and opportunity avails, and wisdom to know when to slow down to access the correct actions before acting promptly. For success in anything, do what you should do when you should do it. And that can be a little bit tricky sometimes, you know, because if you're stressed, your intuition doesn't feel quite right. And I do understand that sometimes we're taking 1 hour at a time or one day at a time. And for people who are feeling that right now in any matter, if you just get back in your body, and even though you don't feel your intuition is right, you'll get the sensation of, a thought will come to you and you say, I've got to do it right now. And you just trust that you're going with the flow of energy in yourself. So it's kind of like going on radar. Maybe not intuition so much as your instincts and your radar that tells you. You know, I've done this myself. We're saying, you know, there's some things that are too overwhelming. I can't think about it right now. But 3 days from now, oh, I got this thought. I'm going to go do it. And it's expedient. I have to do it right now. And usually it synchronizes. It does all kind of line up, that knowing when to slow down, knowing when to go forward. So, again, intuition is very helpful, but if it doesn't feel like it's working for you, then go by your instincts. Use radar.
All right. I think Michael is with us now. Son, you want to pull a card? I've heard your mic.
Yeah, I'll pull a card. I think the mic is working now.
Yes, it
you're
is.
You're on.
All right. And I have card number 2. Esteem
really?
And validation, really.
What? Okay, oh. Say it again. Suit and face value?
It's the self-acceptance suit. Card number 2, esteem and validation.
Well, that's just weird.
Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation. Yeah, we've been having this whole discussion tonight.
Wow, I know.
Not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation. High self-confidence, this is important to listen to, high self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. And I know Dr. Kelly has a lot to say about that, but to finish this, self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Well, I'm just going to comment briefly, and then we'll have Michael pick another one. But self-acceptance or self-esteem and self-confidence are not the same thing. They're related, obviously, but they're not exactly the same thing, because you can have high confidence and still have low self-esteem. I'll bet we know, all of us know somebody who's a very confident person, but deep down they have low self-esteem. And need I say any more? You know, it's just what it is. Self-esteem is internal expectations and internal validation. Them esteem is external. If you do what you do and you validate yourself and you know who you are and why you are who you are based on your own expectations of yourself, and you get validation from that, that's all that's necessary. If you only feel good about yourself when you're doing what other people think you should be doing, that's them esteem. It's not healthy. So we have been beating this horse for a while. Not to use that term, but Michael, why don't you pick another one?
All right. Let's see if it's number three.
Yeah, that would be odd.
It's number 41, life skills. It's communication.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, I don't know when we've had that card pulled, Michael. It's a good one. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, of course. Reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship. And, whoa, that's big in Dr. Kelly's body of work, that's for sure. And this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship, of course, a lack of communication. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, is two of the most important points, important relationship traits, I should say. So communication is huge.
Yeah, all right. So let's talk about that real quick, some of those deeper points. Communication is one of the two most important aspects of any relationship. Now, there are a lot of important aspects that go into a relationship. The two most important are communication and trust. Let's focus on communication. And as I wrote there, the lack of communication will kill any relationship. It's not just a matter of if. It will kill. So think about somebody you haven't talked to in 10 or more years. What kind of relationship do you have with them? Well, the answer is simple. You don't. You had a relationship, but you don't currently have one. So lack of communication will kill any relationship. If you have a relationship that you want to kill, the way to do that is to stop communicating. And I mean in every way imaginable, whether it's verbal, telephone, texting, emails, psychic, I don't care what it is. Stop communicating. The relationship will die. And if you want your relationship to live, to flourish, you gotta communicate. You gotta communicate effectively. And have that calm, adult-like discussion. You know,
but it has to be two ways. I want to add that in there. Two ways.
And I was gonna re-mention that too. Somebody who talks too much is not a good communicator. Somebody who listens too much is not a good communicator. It takes balance. Two-way.
So a lot of time you think you're being a good communicator by having a conversation with somebody, but they're not responding. So really, you're having a conversation with yourself.
Yeah.
And then what we do is we presuppose what somebody else is thinking. Ship by ourselves with somebody, but not really. So I hope everybody understood that communication's huge, but our view of communication is also what's really important to consider.
Good. All right. Well, let's do another card. And Michael posted in the chat if anyone wants a card pulled for them. just say so in the chat room and we'll do that. In the meantime, Vicki, you want to pull a card? Well, okay, Zach wants one, so go ahead and pull one
for him. Hey, Zach. Nice to see you, Zach. All right, deliberate intent, number 20 in the spirituality suit. You know, deliberate intent is it's a really powerful message here for anyone. I think there might be a lot of others who could relate to this too. So not just for Zach, but Zach, at this particular moment, there's a little something here for you. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever that is that you desire. It's not magic. It requires little effort, you know, a little bit of effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release and have some patience. You know, and that's kind of critical too, because when we think we want something, we want it now. We do live in this, you know, this immediate kind of gratification society. And if we don't get something within 5 minutes, we say, well, that didn't work. But, you know, life is life and time is time. You put it out there and then, you know, carry on your step by step. And just know that you are going to synchronize. I would call them cosmic intersections. And there will be an intersection that will, you know, serve you in your deliberate intent. And sometimes it's one step at a time. Dr. Kelly?
And this is the summation of this point. If you want anything in life, you need to focus on it because it works. This is how we're set up. That's how our minds work. Whatever you visualize and work toward, you will attain for all intents and purposes. Now, you got to be balanced too. You got to be reasonable. If, you know, if you're vision is to be the first man on or first woman on Pluto, you know, probably not going to happen. But with, you know, with for all intents and purposes, things in life, you want this, you want that. Visualize it. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Don't focus, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. That's wrong, because that's what you'll, your mind says, oh, that's what you're focused on and you don't have it, and you're right, you won't have it. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. There's a great video that on YouTube called The Missing Tile Syndrome. It's in, I use it in one of our courses. And if you think about it, one of these drop ceilings, you know, they have the white tiles in them. And if there's one missing, it's the only thing you see. You know, you forget all the tiles that are there, and we only focus on the one that's missing. Well, it's the same thing in life. We can focus on what we don't have, because we want it so bad and we don't have it, and that's what we end up focusing on. Well, we need to stop that and focus on what we want and visualize it, see us working toward it. And then we need to move toward that. What can I do to move in that direction? Will making this decision move me closer or further away from my goal, from my objective, from what I want? And that's what deliberate intent is. This is the basis for the secret, for the law of attraction. That's what it is. That's the way life works. And I'll tell you, it does work, because I always get what I want. I don't get it overnight, but I always get what I want. Eventually. What are you laughing about?
We always get what we want. It just doesn't always look like we thought it would, because there's always than we expected.
That's true too. But it can take different forms, but generally speaking, and I'll bet you that's the same, that the same is true for everyone listening. If you think about your life, I'll bet you generally speaking, you've gotten what you want. You may not have everything you want yet, but that's different. You know, you've whatever you got now, you obviously wanted it and you worked toward it. So,
you know, I would really like to share a little testimonial, if I may. And for many years on my birthday, I would do a meditation and project what I would want for the coming year. And, you know, very often I was kind of vague, because I like to challenge myself. I had a fear of water. I'm going to go take swimming lessons, you know. So I would do those kinds of things. But one year, and again, I understand this is, you know, just about 30 years ago, I had decided that I wanted $2,500, $7,500 in my bank account. And I don't know why that number. I just said, this is what I want to do for this coming year. I'm going to save up, or however it happens. I want $7,500 in my bank account. And in those days, well, I think even now it's a lot of money. But back then, there was a sizable amount. Well, lo and behold, it had been a couple of years, but my father's estate was settled. My uncle sent me a check, and it was $7,528. And the thing is, I had it for 24 hours because I had to send two of my sister's checks out of that. So, you know, so it was, I went, oh, no, isn't that interesting? My intent was to have $7,500, but of course it had to be split three ways. But that wasn't the point to me. It was this, wow, you know, of all the numbers in the universe, $7,500, and I actually did have $7,500 in my bank account for like 24 hours. So, as I say, the universe doesn't paraphrase. Deliberate intent is exact. Right. It's exact. So we think, and this is where communication, what we were talking about earlier, communication is critical to understanding our thoughts and what we say in relation. And we have to stop saying things like, well, you know what I mean. You know, when I repeat back to somebody, okay, you just said this. Well, no, that's not what I meant. I say, okay, but can you tell me what you meant? Well, you make me work so hard. No, I'm just trying to understand. Because we need to be more exact in our communication. That helps us with deliberate intent.
All right, so let me respond to a comment in the chat, which is a good point. And the thought is that getting what we want is not always in our control, though, you know, a question mark. That may be true. It may not be in our control right now, per se. However, when you think of it in different terms, it's always in our control. We always have the choice to put one foot in front of the other and move toward that objective. That can be a little baby step, as it were. But we always can move toward that direction. And it's like a locomotive. I use that analogy a lot. You know, think about a locomotive, big, heavy thing, weighs how many tons? Tons of tons. New term. So this locomotive takes a lot of energy to get moving, and it's slow, and it starts slowly moving down the track. But once it's going, it builds up momentum, and that's exactly what happens with us. When we start moving toward our objective, we have control to move that way, and we may not know how it's going to happen right now. And that's been my experience many times. And I've even told my wife, Tracy, says, I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to have to transpire in the meantime to get to this point, but I know I'm going to get to this point. That's what I want. You know, and it happened.
I would like to add a little bit more to that. And saying it's not always in our control. I think part of what I'm sensing here is when we encounter things in life that, like, there's a lot of nasty stuff out there in the world, you know? And when we're encountering that, you've lost your home, you've lost your job, and you don't feel like you're in control. And it's the point that Dr. Kelly is trying to make, and that we can't reinforce enough, is that we have the choice in how we respond and how we change our mind, change our belief system, and change our direction. And that's what we're in control of. You set the goal, you have the deliberate intent. But if you get hit by a Mack truck, well, you just kind of stop for a second, take inventory, and then go around everything or take another direction, because these are all life's lessons. And I really am a believer that everybody has their own pathway. You know, some people are born with a silver spoon, but that doesn't mean they can't be good, kind people. And then there are others who are born in poverty and can rise up. And there's every other, you know, story in between. And life is what we created. I don't know is that we go back to something that's external. Life is how I manage it and how I regard it. and what I think of it, and it can't break me. It can't break my spirit. I am in control, and I am in control of me, and to keep moving forward. And if there are certain things that are not connecting for you, then go in a different direction. Change your mind. And, you know, part of my dilemma in having to move into the city was that there were no acreages available, you know, and housing has become, you know, quite stressful where I live, and all the rent costs have gone through the roof, and I had to take inventory. And it was a devastating moment to realize I have to change my belief system. I have to change my mind. I have to change my direction. And I had no idea what that would look like, but to move forward. So as I'm starting to look at what are the new options, what are the new variables, because I don't know what that looks like. And you know, it's like stumbling through it. And right at the darkest moment when you think, oh, I give up, I can't keep doing this, there was an intersection. So I am in control, but not in ways that I think I am. If that makes any sense, because we only know life by our own belief systems. Only it's how we're programmed. So that's all we know what to look for. And we have to open our minds. Well, there was in one particular moment, I stepped into an arena and really synchronized with finding a place that all in the backyard, I can see cows and fields, which satisfies my country living. And all in the front is valleys and this little town and lights and mountains. And I say, wow, you know, this is perfect for me in that half and half. So again, I didn't think I was in control, but I was in control, but in control of me. And I really hope that that helps to clear something up. I can just mention, though, we were talking about patience earlier, and there was some chatter in the chat room about that. There's a difference between patience and tolerance. And particularly somebody who was there saying, oh, patience, so that patience thing. Understand there's a difference between being patient and being tolerant. And sometimes we have to be tolerant of ourselves and know about tolerance with others and kind of meditate on the distinction of them being patient. So, because there really is, I use those, you know, two words together a lot so we can make that distinction. So I hope I didn't go on too long there, but,
no, but I want to add,
those are important.
I want to add to that too. This whole thing about feeling like we can't get what we really want. And look, I've been there too. And one of the things that I've learned over the years, which I believe is one of my secrets for getting what I want and doing everything that I've done, including this radio program, bringing it to bear, so to speak, is something I heard from Zig Ziglar many, many years ago, decades ago, and he talked about the loser's limp. You know, there's always an excuse. This is why I haven't done it. This is why I haven't done it, or that reason's why I haven't done it. And we always make excuses. And I've done this for years now in my coaching sessions. You know, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do it. Don't tell me why you can't do it. I don't want to hear that. It's ridiculous. It's irrelevant why you can't do it. That's just your own stinking thinking, as Ziglar would say. You need a checkup from the neck up, as Ziglar would say. And so how hard can it be? Folks, this is our world. This is our life. We need to take control of it. We need to manage it, not let it manage us. So if you've got something that you want, then damn it, move toward it. Don't tell me you can't get it. Don't tell me there's too many roadblocks. If you really want it, go after it. You will get it in time. But you can't lose sight of it. And that's where deliberate intent comes in. You have to focus on it, and you have to say, what is my next step? You know, what do I need to do next? What will take me closer to my goal? Even if it's just a millimeter closer, at least you're moving in the right direction. So don't tell me you can't do it. I want to make it happen. You know, make it happen. That's exactly my philosophy in doing all this stuff, these schools, this curriculum, the church, everything I do. I make it happen. I find a way. I will research for hours to make something happen. I will try a gazillion different things, fixes, and I'll tell you, sometimes it takes a while, but I always do it because I don't give up.
That's the distinction, though, and I've been around Dr. Kelly long enough now, the last number of years, to know that if we have a discussion about something, before I know it, he's already done it. He gets an idea, and he does the research. He has a thought, and he's already on it. There's not a lot of talk unless there's some really important decisions to be made. But if he gets an idea, it's go do. And it's that momentum and that action, and not thinking about why you can't do it, because that's a killer. If you start thinking about why you cannot do something, you're done. It's you got to look at the reasons why you can. And when you have that can-do attitude, as Dr. Kelly has, then you just do it. Oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to go look that up and do it. And it's inch by inch. And there's been a lot of things. And just for the record, there's been a lot of ideas that have been tried for the school and the church that haven't quite gone the way we had hoped, but you keep doing it until you find what, as Dr. Kelly would say, you know, see what sticks.
Throw it against the wall and see if it sticks.
Exactly. And you got to keep doing that. And some things just don't work out the way we thought they could have, would have, should have, might have. But so what? You let it go. You don't dwell on it.
Absolutely. And I just want to interject here because that's a big point you just mentioned.
Yep.
When you try something and it doesn't work, you move on and you don't look back. For example, a year ago, I was busy getting the Metaphysical Center all ready to go. And I created a beautiful place. I love that place, you know. I loved it. And it was awesome. We were doing the video broadcast. They were awesome. I enjoyed it. It had a good energy. I was really proud of that. However, after 8 or so months, it became apparent that this was not going to really work out right now. It was just we could use the money in other areas to help people in better ways than just flush it down the toilet and rent and so forth. But I didn't know that going into it. I threw it against the wall to see if it would stick. It didn't stick. Okay, fine. I spent thousands of dollars getting that place ready to go and hoping that it would stick and fly. It didn't. Okay, fine. It was not a defeat. It was not a failure. I successfully determined that it wasn't the right thing at this point. So do I lament? Do I say, oh, wow, I really blew that? No, not at all. I didn't blow anything. I did perfect on that thing. It was great, and it still is. And I learned a lot from it, and I enjoyed it. And so I don't look at it as a failure at all, but I spent all that money. Okay, fine. Let's move forward. I'm not going to look backward. And that is a key point. If you're doing anything, if the direction you're going isn't getting you anywhere, then change it and don't look back. All right.
Exactly.
We're running out of time. So we got two more card pulls we're going to do.
Oh.
And we'll do those real quick and then we're going to wrap things up. The first one is for Wendy, so let's pull a card for Wendy.
Okay, I've got one for you, Wendy. Unknowable. Wow. That's in the wild card suit, and it's number 4, and, you know, that's basically whatever you want to create. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. The focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. Gee, isn't this funny?
Yeah. Amazing.
The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Oh, my. I just have to push the pause button here for a minute. Whew. This is our whole discussion.
Fits.
Change your mind and you will change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change. Wow, Wendy. You know, that's what we've been discussing here. And obviously there's a situation where some energy at work in your life, and you really just have to trust. Put that deliberate intent out there, and you don't know how you're going to get there. Just know you will. You will.
Great. That's, it just amazes me how these cards flow like this. I'm telling you, it's I never expected that with these inner oracle cards. I really didn't. But once you get pulling them like this, it's like they just dovetail one into the other. All right.
Yeah.
Last one, Tracy.
For Tracy. So glad you're here today with us, Tracy. Oh, you're going to love this. In the service to self and others, number 30, it's greatness to deliver.
Yeah.
Oh, please, everyone listen to this. But Tracy, this is for you. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and it does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you're valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. You know, that's powerful in some of the changes and what you're embarking on now, Tracy, is just hold that, embrace that thought, your greatness to deliver, your unique human being, and please, everybody else who's listening, everyone has their own greatness to deliver. It may not be about being on the cover of a magazine or a famous actor. It could be just, you know, a pay it forward in the community. That is greatness. Man, that's delivering greatness, to be kind, to find, you know, a calling and to follow that. It's, you know, that's extraordinary. So what a way to end the show tonight, mm-hmm. you know, this broadcast and our conversation about knowing your greatness to deliver.
Yes, and that is a great culmination of everything we've been talking about. If you do all the stuff we've been, you know, we talked about image, we talked about self-esteem versus them-esteem, we talked about perfection at the outset, we talked about walking your own path, we talked about communication, which gets us there too, and we talked about, what was the last one? I'm drawing a blank here. We talked about...
Deliberate intent,
absolutely, and getting what you want, not taking no or, you know, making it happen, that kind of a thing. And the fact is we all have greatness to deliver. Every one of us does. And we do it every day. Smiling at somebody lightens their load, holding the door, you know, helping somebody who needs a nice done. Those are all ways to deliver greatness every day. And we need to get the whole world doing that. So anyway, we've taken a little bit longer in this program because it flowed and it needed it. And I hope it was of benefit and value to those of you who are listening live as well as those who are listening to the archive. We appreciate you always. Please let others know about this program if you find value in it. And next week we'll be back with, obviously, another program. So until next week, listen, learn, live, and grow. Good night.
Good night.